relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, friends, to this special edition of America First, where we are revisiting the greatest political scandal of modern times in the Republic of America. We have dedicated hours of coverage to the scandal called Obamagate, in which a sitting president, we now have the evidence, went after a presidential campaign, used the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the DOJ to target a political candidate and to frame a good man, an honest man, my former colleague, my superior, and my friend, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. Since we recorded these original interviews, General Flynn is even closer to achieving final justice, with the framing being potentially closed down and the case against him thrown out of court. However, the basic facts of the matter and what happened in the Obamagate scandal, how an innocent man, in several cases, multiple individuals were targeted, must be told again. We are dedicating this whole program to the case of General Mike Flynn. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. And here are the things that you must know that pertain to the largest scandal in our nation's history. The timing could not be better. On YouTube, our channel America First has seen more than 3 million views in just the last few days, thanks to the findings of the DOJ with regards to my former colleague, my friend, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. We will be joined in studio for the first hour by none other than Judicial Watch's Chris Farrell, Director Investigations, Lee Smith, investigative journalist, second hour, Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and the final hour, Congressman Matt Gaetz. Dan Hoffman, former chief of station for the CIA, and Fox News's Greg Jarrett. Where to begin? The story is so complicated, gentlemen. Let's start with you, Chris. It is hard. 3 hours is not enough to do justice to the story of so-called Russia collusion. But let's try and paint a succincter picture as we can. What did the last administration accuse the Trump campaign of doing? And as a result, what did they get up to?
The short answer is that the Obama administration, seeing the Trump administration coming in as their successors, decided to launch, using counterintelligence as the lever, that decided to launch really a seditious coup plot by framing up, first and foremost, General Flynn, because he posed the greatest threat to all the machinations of the FBI and DOJ.
Let's stop there for a second.
Sure.
This is really important. Of all the people coming in, right. I was one of them, Steve Bannon, others coming into the administration. Why is General Flynn target number one? For good reason, right?
General Flynn was a decapitation move. It was chop the head off of the guy, a Army three-star general, former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, a career professional intelligence officer.
Fired by Obama.
Correct. Because in about 20 seconds in office, and he started picking and pulling at this FBI, DOJ, phony Russia hysteria, the entire thing would have collapsed. Other people around President Trump would not have been able, they would have discerned it at some point, but General Flynn was uniquely qualified to understand what was going on at the FBI with this phony counterintelligence investigation, with a violation of law, with a violation of regulations, this undisclosed participation in U.S. organizations in the United States, which is way down in the weeds, but that's the nub. They set up a fake counterintelligence investigation overseas, imported it into the United States, and did everything they could to attack the Trump candidacy, the Trump transition, and the Trump presidency. And Flynn would have detected that in about 20 seconds, and it would have blown up in their faces.
And it's crucial to understand, and full disclosure here, ladies and gentlemen, all our listeners and viewers, I was working with General Flynn in the White House. I worked for him in the official presidential transition team on his NSC team. And this is a person who was unusually positioned, not only because of 30-odd years in intelligence and in the military, but also because of his rank in the Trump administration. Not Senate confirmed. The National Security Advisor is not Senate confirmed. And really, he stands above all the cabinet members because he is the National Security Advisor. He's not just a Secretary of Defense or a State Secretary. He is the National Security Advisor, which means if he found out the depths of the corruption under the so-called Operation Crossfire Hurricane, then he could do something about it. Lee Smith, you have written The Plot Against the President, a fascinating tale of Devin Nunes and how they uncovered this from the congressional side. And I love the New York Post. I picked up the Saturday edition. What do I find? Amazing double spread article, guys. get it if you can online. And who wrote it? Lee Smith. Let's jump to this week, or last week, few days. We're going to spend the whole hour on this. But the big bombshell for us now is all of these documents declassified, hundreds and hundreds of pages from Adam Schiff's behind-closed-door testimony of the Russia collusion investigation that he did not want to release. The new DNI, Rick Grinnell acting, was going to release them anyway. Mm-hmm. You've trawled through them. What did you find? I'm just going to mention a few names. Susan Rice, National Security Advisor for Obama. Ben Rhodes, former Deputy National Security Advisor. Sally Yates, former Acting Attorney General for Obama. Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch and James Clapper. What did you find about what these people said behind closed doors, Lee Smith?
Right. I mean, the big takeaway is something we've known for a while, which is that they had no evidence of collusion. If they had, all of this stuff would have gone public, and they would have been breaking down doors all over Washington, D.C., frog-marching people into supermaxes. But, of course, there was no evidence of anything of the sort, and that's why these were hidden by, not hidden, but this is why Adam Schiff did not release them.
Because it would have been clear there was no Russian collusion.
Exactly. I mean, the reality is that the press understood this. They'd been playing along with Schiff for 3 years. There are some interesting details in these transcripts. The most interesting thing, I think, is the different the flavor that you walk away with. I read Samantha Power's transcript over the weekend.
This is the Obama ambassador for the United Nations.
Right. You read this, and she unmasked over 330 American citizens.
So this is the identity of exactly. U.S. peoples caught up in surveillance right. of foreign nationals, foreign agents, right. whose identity should be protected under the Constitution, but can be, for special purposes, unmasked. And she, right. U.N. ambassador, unmasks right. hundreds of American identities.
It's amazing. And you see when she's asked by Republican investigators that she is, you understand that the entire culture of the Obama administration was one in which espionage and spying on other people played a central part. So again, there are very important things that you find. There are certain details that you find that are important, which I wrote about today for John Solomon's publication.
Just the news.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that later. But again, the big feeling that you have when you walk away from it, and I think this is very important to keep in mind, especially now in light of Barack Obama's
comments.
Exactly. Because what we start to understand is, right, the FBI is certainly an enormous part of it. It was done first for the Hillary Clinton campaign, but then you see what the Barack Obama administration was up to, and this is central. I'm of the opinion that General Flynn was targeted by a number of different people for a number of different reasons. The FBI went after him for one reason.
We'll talk about Brennan. We'll talk about the unprecedented tri-agency operation that was done against the political campaign. We are talking with Lee Smith, the author of The Plot Against the President. Check out his latest piece, Saturday's New York Post, and Director of Investigations for Judicial Watch, Chris Farrell. Support Judicial Watch right now. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Sebastian, well, listen to him. He's with us.
The significance of what you're about to hear is related to what the intelligence community has done in the past and what its standard procedures have been. To understand the enormity of the Flynn case, it is essential to internalize the fact that never, ever before in the history of our nation has there been an interagency counterintelligence operation jointly mounted by the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA. Not only has such an operation never occurred, we have never seen it done with a political objective and without, as we now know, any predicate of a crime ever being committed. Here are the details on Crossfire Hurricane. We are back with our very special guest. It's the first hour of our Obamagate special. It is Chris Farrell, Director of Judicial Watch's Investigations, and Lee Smith, who has been writing some incredible articles. New York Post. Where else can they find your writings?
I have a piece today in
Just the News. We're going to actually have the man behind Just the News here with us in the next hour, John Solomon. So check out both of these gentlemen's writings and also their interviews. Let's go back to the question of your field. You have a career in the U.S. military, U.S. Army, counterintelligence, Chris. You know what CI means. I'm going to ask you, does this fit into the practice of counterintelligence, which is catching or preventing spies or misinforming spies?
Certainly not the lawful practice of counterintelligence.
Okay, so what do we know? We know that back in July of 2016, the FBI initiates Crossfire Hurricane, which ends up being a tri-agency. Never before in U.S. history has the NSA,
the CIA and the FBI had a counterintelligence operation against a political campaign. Let me be clear. A political campaign, which ends up issuing or getting FISA warrants to spy on U.S. nationals, Carter Page, that are part of the Trump campaign, and then posits that the incoming national security advisor is somehow working for the Russian Federation. That fact is briefed. That, tell us about what happens just before the transfer of power, January 6th in the Oval Office, and then January 5th, and then January 6th of 2017.
Right, so January 5th is key because that is what ties everything to President Obama.
Yes.
There's zero plausible deniability that Obama was in up to his eyeballs in this entire saga.
Which you call a coup.
It is. It's a coup. I mean, there's no other way. You can call it a soft coup in the sense that there weren't tanks rolling in the streets. The military wasn't taking over television and radio stations. No one was being, you know, mowed down with machine guns.
But people were targeted for political purposes.
Absolutely. And there was an attempt to disrupt the lawful turnover of power from one party to the other. And the receiving party, President Trump and his administration, were actively gone after in a way to destabilize the administration, to attack persons, the president himself personally, and attempt to attack and destroy him and all those around him. And so in this regard, on the 5th of January, there's a briefing in the Oval Office, quite a cast of characters. So the president himself...
President Obama.
Correct. The illustrious vice president.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden is there.
Director of CIA, John Brennan.
John Brennan. Clapper is sitting there.
Who's the director of national intelligence.
Correct. Susan Rice, the national security advisor at that point.
Director of FBI, Jim Comey.
Correct.
And then Sally Yates.
Correct.
Now, why is Sally Yates interesting?
Well, because at that point, she's going to pick up the ball and become the acting attorney general.
Okay.
And so...
And she should know...
She purportedly is surprised by what Obama tells her.
So this is the big deal from last week. Last week's filings on General Flynn's case being unsubstantiated have in those documents an FBI memorandum in which Sally Yates is apparently shocked that there is an operation against Mike Flynn, and who's giving her the details of the operation?
President Obama.
President Obama knows the details.
Correct.
He's filling in the woman who is Deputy Attorney General of the United States.
Correct.
Smoking gun, am I wrong?
Right, and then, you know, later on, they start talking about going up to go brief President-elect Trump, and Comey says, well, I'm going up there tomorrow, meaning going up to New York. To Trump Tower. And two things. One, they all laugh. They think it's hysterical that he got the short end of the stick. He has to go up and go talk to Trump. Ha, ha, ha. Right? What are they laughing about? They're laughing about the fact that Comey's going to go up there and provide the incoming president supposedly with a briefing. But there's some very important things about the briefing that are left out, namely what's being done to his administration. Instead, the salacious information about hookers and
the Steele dossier.
Right? All the phony nonsense. That's what they brief him on. They don't brief him on what would normally be done, which is a defensive security
briefing. That you are under threat. We have credible information that somebody is trying to inveigle themselves into your administration.
Right. None of the legitimate counterintelligence type information that you provide somebody so that they can make informed decisions. That's left out. Comey goes up to New York. First of all, they're all laughing in the Oval Office how funny it is. Literally, they're laughing that Comey's going to go up there. And, you know, you got
you're the stucky.
Yeah, you're stuck. But then Comey goes up and does this, and what does he do when he comes out of the meeting? He runs downstairs to his SUV.
His government SUV.
Correct. And whips out his laptop, his government laptop, and writes a memo to quickly capture, while it's still fresh in his mind, all of his impressions about how the president-elect received this information, what his demeanor was, his reactions, etc.
Which he deems to be a private document.
That's what he says. And, of course, later on he leaks that information, right?
Leaks it illegally. Lee Smith, talk to us for a second. We've got a minute and a half left in this segment. I'm so glad both of you are both here for the full hour. What has the role of the media been in the last 3 years with regards to Crossfire Hurricane and Russia collusion?
I mean, the purpose of the media has been to, again, it's the essential platform. This is still something I think that most people aren't prepared to see yet. Most people are willing to admit the media was complicit or the media was lazy, but that's not true. The media is the essential component without which none of these things could have happened. I want to come back for a second to what Chris was describing. I mean, what we're looking, once the way to understand this, let me talk about the media for 1 second. The media is the mortar holding this story together. What you need to do to truly understand this story, you have to strip it. You have to strip everything down to its foundations. The foundations are, if you want to see what happened, you need the timeline. You need an accurate timeline, and you need to see the quotes. The media is the mortar that's holding everything together. If you look at the episode Chris was just describing, what it's like a scene out of a James Ellroy novel when the dirty detectives, dirty L.A. detectives are saying, we're blackmailing you, buddy. We've got this nasty stuff on you, and I can make it go away. I can help you. I can do whatever I want. Were they really? That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to see how Trump was going to react. This was not a defensive briefing. This was not to help the president. It was to blackmail and put him in a bad place.
And not only that, what people miss is that the FISA warrants were reissued, were re-upped after Donald Trump was sworn in as president, which means we're not just talking about undermining a presidential campaign. We're talking about spying on a new administration. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Don't touch that dial. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than 24 states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us, and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
Government has declared him essential. Sebastian Gorka.
National security is my thing. I've been teaching, studying, working in the field for decades now. But in case you think that our special today about Crossfire Hurricane, about the travesty committed against General Flynn, is some kind of specialized analysis, think again. This is about you, my friends. This is about a political elite, the Obama administration, trying to subvert the will of the American people. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, back with our very special guest on this three-hour Obamagate special, Lee Smith. Follow him at Lee Smith, D.C., and Director of Investigations for Judicial Watch. That organization does more than all the media put together to get to the truth. Support them. Join them at judicialwatch.org. Lee, we tend to think, oh, it's about Manafort, it's about Page, it's about Flynn. But this concerted attempt to grind down the will of the American people, right, the choice of President Trump, this wasn't just a handful of people that were targeted, was right. it?
Well, the larger picture is, as the president has said again and again, it's like, look, they're coming after you. I'm just in between you and them.
Yes. And meaning the American people.
Right, exactly. So the essential thing is they wanted to delegitimize an election. They wanted to thwart the peaceful transition of power. Specifically, though, they went after lots of people. And I hope I'm not going to embarrass you by talking about this. But people often forget how hard they went after you and what they did, which was incredibly disgraceful.
I've tried to forget.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring it up.
It's fine.
I'm sorry to bring it up. But I mean,
and you know when it started? It started the second they deployed me to defend the president's travel ban.
Right.
That was, oh my gosh, you got to take him down.
Right.
He's a Nazi, blah, blah, blah.
Right. I mean,
but just a proxy, just a proxy for the president and the will of the people.
But look at all the people whose lives, I mean, they went after you. I mean, I believe that they were really serious about trying to get you, you know, about trying to deport you. I mean, these are very sick people.
Yeah, these are members of Congress.
Exactly.
Who wrote letters to the Department of Homeland Security.
Disgraceful people.
And suggesting I be deported because they love immigrants so much.
Yeah, But if you look at the amount of people, we talk about General Flynn, who's certainly the most famous in the sense the longest suffering of all the people that these animals targeted. We talk about Carter Page. We talk about George Papadopoulos. And this is all correct. But we also have to look. They went after a number of people, a number of Trump allies, a number of people in the administration. They went after you. This is one of the other things that you get if you read the transcripts. The number of people, Michael Caputo has been tweeting about this lately.
Ezra Cohen.
All of these people they went after and they tried to drain them financially. They tried to get them thrown out of their jobs. And they tried to bankrupt them. They
Hope Hicks
with Michael. Exactly. Hope Hicks.
And these are all brand names. I can tell you because I've talked with dozens of them. Other presidential appointees, other Schedule C appointees, State Department. Other people who are really trying to turn the corner and really implement the president's
drain
policies.
Drain the swamp.
And all the little munchkins, all the little career embedded guys who would do everything under the sun. Fake IG complaints, fake prohibited personnel activity.
The one I saw the most is denial of security clearance.
Correct.
Right. And use the system to say you can't have your job.
And so all of these sort of careerist opportunists within these agencies and departments all over D.C., anybody who came in as a Trump appointee was gone after in the most vicious, cruel, phony way. And eventually, a lot of them were forced out.
Therefore, Chris, the phrase deep state is completely justified, is
completely.
It not?
In fact, it's not adequate.
It's not enough.
If there should be another phrase for how bad it is. Yeah.
Yeah, we are talking to Lee Smith. The book is The Plot Against the President. Follow him at Lee Smith DC. If it's available online, Eric, find it right now. We're going to repost his fabulous findings this Saturday's New York Post on what the Obama administration members said behind closed doors that has now been declassified about there being a complete absence. Oh, let me just... We've got 30 seconds in this. Let me just read a couple of these delightful quotes. So this is Susan Rice, former national security advisor to President Obama. Quote, behind closed doors, I don't recall intelligence that I would consider evidence to the effect that I saw a conspiracy. Ben Rhodes, I did not see, you know, the specific evidence of the actions of the Trump campaign. Sally Yates, if you're asking me, did I reach the conclusion that Trump had involvement with the DNC hack? The answer to that would be no. And then a lovely one. This is from the former Attorney General for Obama, Loretta Lynch. I can't say that it existed or not. Is this a philosophy class or are we talking about evidence? I'm Sebastian Gorka, back with our friends Lee Smith and Chris Farrell in a moment.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Think of those who are without a mother or a father, not only this Thanksgiving, but also at Christmas. That's why we every year support the Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree program, where you are helping to provide a child who has lost a parent to the prison system receive a Christmas gift. Also, the Word of the Lord, a children's Bible, and a message of hope from their parent. Please support this incredible cause by going to our website, sebgorka.com, and clicking on the Angel Tree banner. That's SEBGORKA.com and the Angel Tree banner right at the top. Or you can call 888 206 2794. Please make a difference today. Also, if you like what you're hearing on this radio show, support the great Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, who's giving you more than 60% off his incredible product if you use my name at his website. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. 10-year guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com today, but you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A for those massive, massive deep discounts. You won't regret it. I use them. My whole team uses them. The president loves them. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. If you want a good night's sleep, it's MyPillow.com. We're back. It's our three-hour special on Obamagate with Judicial Watch's Chris Farrell and Lee Smith. Lee Smith is the author of a fabulous new book called The Plot Against the President. Chris, dirty cops. We heard the Representative Scalise be pretty outspoken there. Not one FBI agent or DOJ official has been charged with a crime. Some of them have retired early. One was fired. What is your expectation? What are the signs you're seeing coming out of the DOJ? I'm going to ask both of you, Lee, as well. What are your expectations? We've got 175 days before the election. There's this idea that you can't indict people close to the election because it will be politicized. We live in an age where everything is politicized. What's Chris Farrell's gut sense?
It all rests on the shoulders of Mr. Durham. And
the U.S. attorney from Connecticut.
Right. Who's been charged by the attorney general to uncover and expose all this. And so the question is, is there a grand jury impaneled and are there going to be indictments? That's what it's all about. Anything short of that? If Durham is just writing a report.
Yeah. Like an IG's report.
If he's just writing a report, the country's screwed, irreparably screwed. And I mean, on a scale that...
Because of loss of confidence in our institutions.
I say this advisedly. If that is what happens, we are sliding towards being a failed state.
Because no rule of law.
We're a big country, and we're enormously rich, and we have all kinds of... But we will be a failed state if the justice system, if the American public looks at the justice system and doesn't believe it anymore... And if the FBI and DOJ and courts and other officials can get away with all the stuff we've been talking with, and it ends up in a strongly worded report.
Yeah, right.
If that's it, we are screwed beyond belief.
After the fall of communism, I went to live in the land of my parents. I went to Hungary, spent 15 years there, worked in the first conservative government, and then set up my own think tank. And when people saw year in, year out, the former communist regimes, frontline individuals paid no penalties for the crimes of the past. The phrase was born by a Hungarian philosopher saying, we live in the land of no consequences. Lee Smith, how are you feeling? Are we going to end up deciding as a nation that this is the land of no consequences?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with Chris 100%. If there are no consequences for, people will continue to lose faith in our very significant institutions. We're talking about law enforcement. We're talking about intelligence. We're talking about political institutions. We're also talking about the press.
And the courts.
Exactly, the courts as well. And this will be another data point, a very significant key data point on the way to becoming what Chris says a failed state, if not worse. Right. But I am actually the Flynn documents that came out last week that we've seen over the last 2 weeks. It makes me very optimistic.
Because these were documents that didn't just magically appear, but that A.G. Barr and Durham had to say, Sidney Powell, Flynn's new attorney, needs these.
Right.
Released from DOJ. So that makes you feel good?
Well, yes, because look at what the documents show. I mean, the documents show that the malfeasance at the FBI goes, as they describe in these documents, to the seventh floor. Meaning leadership, meaning James Comey and Andrew McCabe. It also shows that there are problems with the Mueller special counsel team.
Which we haven't even mentioned.
Right. So I think between the FBI and the special counsel team, we now have some more insight into what the Durham investigation is looking at and what they're building. And just to have a little aperture into that and see how much stuff they already have, what people have said, what they know, and it was Attorney General Barr who made the decision to withdraw charges, right? He understands what's happening. He himself called it in an interview a perjury trap.
Right.
So I'm optimistic.
And in the last minute we have, it is significant, is it not, Chris, that in one of his first testimonies before Congress, Attorney General Barr said in a question, he isn't just concerned with what the FBI was up to. He is very disturbed about what was happening in the whole intelligence community. Isn't that significant?
It is very much so. And he was, you know, so bold as to use the word spying, which made all kinds of people.
Because Jim Comey says we don't spy against Americans, right?
You know, which is the worst sort of legalistic mumbo jumbo when you say, you know, all right, so then you conduct
surveillance, you know, court mandated.
Lawful, you know, lawful concealed monitoring and electronic surveillance. Congratulations. Regular normal people.
Or not so lawful.
Yeah,
or not so lawful.
Yeah, but normal people don't talk that way. They call it spying. Just like when the president said, "Obama wiretapped me." Guess what?
Right.
Yeah, Obama wiretapped.
And then, of course, that's the phrase that the press actually starts using, a shorthand, wiretap. So, what was the problem when the president said wiretap? Now you say wiretap.
And I'm glad we still have our sense of humor, because we need it. In the spirit of the Gipper, in the spirit of Ronald Reagan, we remain happy warriors. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Follow Lee Smith, D.C., and go to judicialwatch.org. Support this incredible frontline organization that is fighting corruption.
Sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
The largest scandal, the most outrageous abuse of our intelligence community since the founding of the Republic. That is Operation Crossfire Hurricane, and that is the targeting and the framing of three-star general, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. We are back with Judicial Watch's Director of Investigations, Chris Farrell. Follow them at Judicial Watch on Twitter, and Lee Smith at Lee Smith DC. Last big question of the hour, gentlemen, and thank you for being in studio for our three-hour Obamagate special, is what is the most important thing that perhaps those who don't follow the D.C. swamp religiously should know and may have missed, Chris?
The Trump administration's Justice Department under Attorney General Barr is still fighting us.
Judicial Watch.
Still fighting us in court on the release of records and documents. For example, most egregiously, it's the FBI's legal position that the thousands of text messages between Strzok and Page, text messages they say, they're not FBI records.
What?
Correct.
On their FBI phones?
Correct. So they, to this day, in literally dozens of cases we have about emails, records, text messages, all sorts of communications, all sorts of records and files, the existing administration's Department of Justice is fighting us tooth and nail not to give us records.
That's why, and he'll be on the show, he'll be our last guest of the day, Greg Jarrett, last couple of days wrote a piece of Fox News. Christopher Wray must go. The current incumbent at the FBI, the director, is a swamp creature.
Amen.
Lee Smith, last thoughts.
It's not something that people don't know. It's my confirmation of something that people have suspected for a while, which is what we saw last week when Barack Obama leaks this message. People are right to discern concern in his voice. However, the big thing is why he is surfacing at this time to raise his hand, right? Joe Biden, as even Democratic voters know, no longer exists. There is no such thing as Joe Biden. He is an avatar, right?
He's an empty shell.
So who is it? It's Barack Obama. That gives us some clarity on what's been going on here the last 3 years. It's not just to punish the Trump administration and voters. It's to obstruct any Trump agenda and block that and preserve it for Barack Obama, right? That was their whole thing. We didn't have enough time.
This is huge. This is huge. In 175 days, if you vote for Joe Biden, you're voting for President Obama, but more importantly, you're voting to cover up
the crimes of President Obama and his co-conspirators. Fabulous notes to end our first hour on. Buy this man's book, The Plot Against the President. Lee Smith on Twitter, Lee Smith DC, and support this incredible organization, Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. Thank you, Chris Farrell. Thank you, Lee Smith, for being in studio, for kicking off the first hour of our 3-hour Obamagate special. Don't touch that dial.